freedom is the right to tell what they do not want to hear. CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Tired of the same repetitive government narratives? And wave goodbye to the distractions and rhetoric of corporate media. For this is Anti-Media Radio.
But I want to get the language right.
The government is in trouble.
After all, a bunch of slaves! A bunch of slaves!
What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but is love and wisdom and compassion toward one another.
What's your definition of me?
And now, here's your host, S.M. Gibson.
Happy birthday, Edgar Allan Poe and Dolly Parton. It is January the 19th, 2016. My name is S.M. Gibson, and you are listening to Anti-Media Radio. So much going on in the news right now. Wow, I still can't believe how people have not woken up to what is going on in the world. We're still dealing with this theater, this circus called this presidential election with these debates. We had Bernie Sanders here in town in Birmingham last night. 7,000-8,000 people showed up at the auditorium he was speaking in. He took a tour of the 16th Street Baptist Church. He actually had more people in Birmingham, Alabama. There were more people that went to see Bernie Sanders than went to see Donald Trump. People are definitely on the Bernie bandwagon right now. He's up 27 points in New Hampshire over Hillary. It's just people have to believe in themselves. There's no politician, whether it's Bernie Sanders or Donald Trump or whoever, there's no politician that's going to save you from yourself. We have to take control of our own lives. We have to stop handing over responsibilities to some man in a suit that gets paid to implement laws that benefit the corporations and benefit themselves. They're not there to benefit you. They're there to benefit themselves, whether it's behind the scenes or the guy on TV wearing a suit and tie. But, alas, here we are. We're dealing with the entire theater of the situation. It's an absolute joke. It's a farce. But that's why we're here, is to keep people down the path to believe in themselves, to give people information so they can understand what's really going on in the world. This isn't about what I tell you, or this isn't about anything you see on anti-media or Free Thought Project or any other website. This is about you making your own decisions and living your own life, because that's the only way we're going to succeed in the world, is standing up for our neighbors, standing up for ourselves, and stop being pushed around by corporate interests, politicians, and people that are power hungry. These politicians, they all have a God complex, and that's something we have to understand. We give everybody this benefit of the doubt, like, oh, they have our best interest in mind. No, they don't. They don't have our best interest in mind. Here's the thing about especially politicians. The people that give back to society, these are the people that don't have the high-paying jobs, that aren't looking for power, whether it's farmers or somebody that works in a factory or somebody that's works for the greater good of the community. Then you have somebody like a lawyer, politician, whatever. What purpose is a politician really serve? They're not there to benefit human survival in any way, shape, or form. It's all for selfish gain. Sorry, you don't have to have a sheet of paper to tell you how to live your life. You can make that decision for yourself. You don't need a person telling you. You don't need a sheet of paper. It's up to us to live the way we want to be treated and treat others the same way. I'm going to go ahead and bring in our wonderful producer tonight, as always, Mr. Shannon Madden. Shannon, how are you?
Mr. Gibson, how are you this evening?
I can't complain. I'm frustrated, but what's new? I mean, that's just the world we're living in right now. And also, joined remotely tonight is Mr. Kevin Knight. Kevin, how are you, sir?
Hey, man, doing great, guys. Good to be with you. Sorry I couldn't be with you in person, but glad to be with you nonetheless.
Fantastic. So, Shannon, I know you were running down a few of the stories earlier. Let's get into what you thought. What's the biggest story of the night for you right now?
Well, here locally, because you did bring up the Bernie Sanders thing, and I'm only throwing this out here, but just follow me for a second. When Bernie Sanders came to town, he occupied a venue that is used for a homeless shelter. That is actually, when it gets very, very cold at night, and it's been below freezing the past couple nights here in Birmingham.
Hey, I also saw Ric Flair wrestle in that same building about 20 years ago.
I saw Bob Dylan there. I saw Marilyn Manson there. Yeah, it's a trip. Saw Gwen Stefani. The first time I saw Gwen Stefani, my heart's still beating. Anyways, getting back to the point, when it gets super cold there, though, they use that for a kind of an emergency homeless shelter. Well, the big story that's been running on AL.com today, which is our local advanced media or advanced publication,
whatever it is,
run website. Every city's got one these days. They replaced them with the daily paper. That's been the big story that's been floating around on there. And suddenly, the homeless that have been pretty much laughed and jeered at and not really any help for whatsoever, then suddenly we have a lot of Facebook activists today that are suddenly giving a damn about the homeless. And the funny thing is that the media kind of cast Bernie Sanders' campaign in a little bit of a negative light by insinuating, falsely I might add, insinuating that they had kind of kicked the homeless people out so they could have a rally there. And Bernie Sanders folks had no idea about any of the arrangement the city had with the homeless shelters and so on and so forth. It just, the point I'm trying to make is that's why it's so important to get the whole story behind all of the information that we talk about every night. And that's what we're here for, is to give you the rest of the story.
That's it. And speaking of the rest of the story, the beginning of the story, we had, speaking of the theater, I mean, this is as theatrical as you get. Sarah Palin.
A Trump Palin ticket is that is Saturday Night Live goldmine. Their writers won't have to do anything else.
Nothing. They can just air it. They can just air what they actually do.
Does Sarah Palin still think she represents the Tea Party? Is this the evolution of the actual Tea Party movement?
I don't know. But here's the thing: people are surprised by this endorsement, but she's nothing but a glorified reality star herself. Now she got her name, obviously, started as the governor in Alaska, and then, on the ticket with John McCain, but then she goes and turns on has a reality show, puts her kids, they have reality shows. She's no different than Trump. It's all about her own face being put out there and making a dollar off of it.
Well, so apparently she's been promised, some sources say, and I think that source is her group or her clique, reports that she's been promised a position in a possible Trump White House. So I'm not surprised that she would do what she can do to not only, of course, to play it up for all the theater that she can throw at us, but I'm not surprised that she wouldn't be also going for a position in a Trump White House, given if the spot became available. I'm sure she would love to get back into it. So, yeah, you're right. I'm not surprised this is it shouldn't really be surprising. But you know, it's even for Palin. You know, and saw earlier her daughter apparently attacked Ted Cruz, which I thought was interesting that they chose to get in it hard and heavy in defense of Trump. But there you go. It's more theater.
That's exactly what it is. And you've got, of course, Ted Cruz and the Goldman Sachs. But it's everybody. And, of course, with Sarah Palin, the God complex strikes again. That what can I get? What can I get? Just, I mean, we've talked at length all this on air, off air about, you know, why not let Trump in there and let the whole thing burn down and start over, and we can finally, you know, put the power back to the people. Because as we said, you know, we're on life support, and I think Trump will pull the plug because it's going to be so bad. We're going to have militarized police in the streets on a daily basis. He's going to build a wall. I mean, it's true fascism. So why not have Palin in there for more insanity?
Well,
because that's what she would bring.
I said the same thing when I, and it may have been to you when a conversation we had. It's almost like, you know, sitting across the street from your neighbor's house, and your neighbors are in the front yard doing something really stupid that you know it's like, oh man, they're fixing to really screw up. You got to watch this, and you know you got to say something, but you really want to see. The problem is that when we talk about Donald Trump and Sarah Palin being the president or vice president or whatever they want to be to the United States government as representatives of the American people, it's kind of like watching the same thing happening, except you suddenly realize you're looking at a mirror and it's actually taking place in your own house.
Well, it's true. And look at what the presidency has become. We've become a country run by lunatics.
Yeah.
So, I mean, is anybody going to argue the fact that Donald Trump is probably already the first lunatic in this, you know, in the United States?
George Bush.
He's a nut job, total.
He is, and, you know, but we see so many people. Hillary, I mean, I don't even know.
And she's not nuts?
Oh, she's insane. But
God, I mean, really, how can you call one more insane than the other if you look at both of their track records?
I don't think you can. Cruz, Rubio, whoever. I mean,
Christie, gosh.
Yeah, but, you know, he apparently has a
job of the hut.
Yeah, I don't think Christie has greased the right palms because he's been kind of pushed to the side.
He's got to grease something, all right.
And you've got Rand Paul now, and he's coming out against all these politicians. But to me, it's a little bit too little, too late, a little bit, because he has played the game for so long and kind of, you know, Republican Party this, GOP that, and now, you know, he's finally, you know,
that's what killed.
Literally him, putting his middle finger up at him. But, you know, I'm afraid it's too late because he's gone back and forth with some of his positions, and I think they were trying to avoid some of the hang-ups that his dad saw in his campaign by being completely staunch in what he believed in, and it didn't work.
He tried to be staunch in what he believed in, but also add that it was for the greater good of the party and the greater good of the Republicans and Democratic
right.
And the rhetoric is where I went soft because it was so hard for the rhetoric, you know? So, anyway, with that.
Well, speaking of the warmongering politicians, whether it is Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders for that matter, and of course any of the GOP candidates you want to name, it's just come out that almost 19,000 civilians, this was released by the United Nations, 19,000 civilians have been killed in Iraq since 2014. Of course, all this is being blamed on ISIS, and another 36,000 were injured. 3.2 million people have been internally displaced. Roughly a third of them were school-aged children. But why has that happened? Directly because of the United States being involved in that country. And yet, all these lunatic politicians are encouraging more war. They want us to get into more war. Is the death ever enough for them? It doesn't seem like it. I guess if their pockets are lined and they get a little bit more power at the end of the day, They don't care about people overseas. They don't care about people here. We're talking about all these people on stage talking about how they're going to bomb this and bomb that. None of these people even serve in the military.
Because they know the system is already set in place. All they got to do is assume their position. They get to hold the championship belt for a while and get to fly around Air Force One. Whoop-de-damn-do for them. I mean, we all know that for Trump, Trump has no serious desire to change America or make America great. This is just another title that he gets to add to the long list of best-selling author and TV reality star and all the other little different accolades that he's built up for himself.
Yeah, it's another notch on his belt and a picture to hang on his wall at the end of the day, something to etch on his gravestone. I also want to bring in the wonderful Miss Claire Burnish, a writer for us here at antimedia.org. Claire, how are you doing tonight?
I've had better days, but I'll be okay.
Hey, Miss Claire, how you doing tonight?
You know.
Yeah.
Howdy, Miss Claire. I'm on the other line.
Hi, how are you?
Well, I'm so glad you called in.
Yeah, I figured it would cheer me up somehow.
Good.
And you know what, Claire? I completely understand your frustration with everything that's going on in the world right now, because you know, I go through times where you feel hopeless. You see all the people around you. You don't understand how anybody could be arguing any of these points with the facts that are in front of us, and people want to be deceived on a daily basis.
Especially when ignorant people just get downright nasty for the sake of getting downright nasty. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it's all coming from a place of ignorance.
Yeah.
That's kind of my issue, I guess. I was talking about this, you know, right before the start of the year. It just seems like people are so willing to divide amongst themselves. And we're looking right now where, you know, the oil industry is in trouble and, you know, our stupid broken system is probably going to bail it out. And we're looking at the government having problems and, you know, even the mass herd is understanding that the government's having problems. So we're on the cusp of this possible, you know, revolution of ideas and the possibility of implementing sustainable energy and all a number of other things, and yet here we are picking each other apart. Where it seems in the past we would pick each other's arguments apart, now it's like we're just tearing each other down, like personally. And it doesn't serve any purpose, and it does make you kind of lose hope in some sense.
But you know what, Claire? I think a lot of that stems from is where we used to criticize and pick apart arguments and intellectual ideas. What intellectual ideas do we really have left here? I mean, we're talking about Donald Trump, Sarah Palin, Hillary Clinton, whoever, whichever party you subscribe to. It's completely phony on both sides.
That's crazy. I don't think I've ever heard anybody use the word intellectual and then the words Donald Trump and Sarah Palin in the same sentence ever. That was awesome, dude.
I'm going to applaud myself for that one. But
I mean, I agree. I think my disappointment lies in that the people that I would normally consider not necessarily intellectual brain trust, but, you know, people with a decent amount of intelligence still are doing the same thing. It's evolved into this ad hominem attack on everybody when if we could just put our differences aside, we stand to gain so much right now, you know.
But you have to remember, too, people have allowed their political beliefs to be intertwined with their identity. And so when you attack whichever candidate that so-and-so supports, they feel like it's a personal attack on them, so they're going to personally attack you. And it's not about ideas, because we don't – it's the gloss, the cover, what you see on TV, they're not discussing ideas. They're screaming. It's a spectacle.
All lives matter.
Yeah, geez, Louise, we went through that one here.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, it's difficult not to be frustrated, you know. I guess maybe because it seemed like we were making so much progress at one point, and then all of a sudden everything is falling apart. It's disappointing. I still have hope. I've not given up, but it is difficult sometimes.
And it's almost if Trump has given a lot of people to a lot of a good reason for people to be ignorant again. I mean, here's this guy being as ignorant as he wants to be on TV. Hell, I can be ignorant too.
But even as ridiculous as both Bernie and Trump are in their different ways, of course, you know, it does serve the same interest. But even with that, their popularity, I think, has stemmed from a frustration. And you do have Trump that is perceived as an outsider. You know, he's not tied to politicians. He buys the politicians. He doesn't need corporate money. And Bernie's like, take down the banks. I think people...
Take down the banks.
Yeah, exactly. I believe that they're starting to get there, but they're still looking in all the wrong places.
Agreed, very much so. Well, I mean, what else do they know? You know, a lot of people only know what they're, you know, and I'll be honest with you, I think a lot of us have probably fallen in the same trap when we first, at least I know I did when I first came and took an interest into politics. I only knew to put my faith or my hope into the candidates that were put in front of me. I didn't know any other way to look at it, to be honest with you. So, but, you know, I kind of think I understand Claire's frustration. But I'm really optimistic in that all these people are going to eventually be let down. And I just hope that...
They absolutely will.
Yeah, and that's where I hope that the activists will continue to do their work despite the fighting, the infighting, and be there to catch those people when they fall.
But how do people not learn from... We're ending 8 years of Barack Obama, a man that ran for president with the word hope under his... face portrayed by Shepard Fairey, and Nobel Peace Prize bombs 8 countries.
Yeah.
Don't you think that would have taught them anything?
You would think.
Yeah, you'd think.
You would think. People don't seem to. That's the thing. It's like a wheel. You know, it comes around every 4 years or 8 years or, you know, whatever. A new candidate comes along, and everybody suddenly feels like, oh, but this time it's going to be different. I mean, what's the definition of insanity? You know?
It's repeating the same behavior over and over, and that's the cycle we are in.
And I love the fact that Claire just brought that up. And it's funny, I was watching Game of Thrones last night, and the I don't know if there's any Game of Thrones fans out there, and this might be a spoiler alert, but hell, you need to be watching it, so deal with it. Where Daenerys Targaryen... speaks about the wheel and the fact that there's all these spokes. Everybody is the spoke at the top for a little while, then they fall, and it just goes around and around and around. And it's time we break the wheel. It is time that we break the wheel.
That's it.
And because unfortunately, I hate it for everybody out there listening. Bernie Sanders is just another spoke.
He's just another politician. That's it.
He's gonna do away with the banks. Where do you think all that money for the free stuff's gonna come from?
But you know, at the same time, you know, the frustration. I think that to speak to what Claire mentioned again, I think that's something that we're always going to be faced with. I think most of us at this point have kind of come to realize, and to paraphrase some smarter men than I am. You know, it doesn't take a whole active majority, but it just takes a tireless minority that's willing to fight and persevere. And so I'm glad that there's news sources, there's organizations out there. I hate to call you guys a news source, but the Anti-Media, the Free Thought Project, some of the other groups that are still pushing on and trudging on, and I think we're going to have to keep doing that. We really don't have a choice. But I think we've got a lot of things to look forward to, at least a lot of stuff to counteract with Trump's administration. I say Trump's administration. I'm sorry, but I kind of – do you guys see him actually winning at this point? I'm sorry.
I still don't know. I don't know. I mean, I have no idea. I think either way, we're living in the cycle whether it's being administered – more so than I've ever experienced in my lifetime by the system, whether it be the media or the politicians or the corporate interest of division, whether it's religion, whether it's race, whether it's politics, Republican, Democrat, we are being purposely divided. And as long as they can keep everybody splintered off, arguing amongst themselves, they can be in the background while we're scuffling over the crumbs over here. They've got the full course meal.
And don't y'all realize that only 30-some-odd percent of people actually vote in national elections? We are not the minority. The problem is, though, is that we have a lot of those people that are the undecideds that are not wandering down to the polls because they're waiting for somebody to tell them who to vote for.
But in this Kardashian society that we live in, how much of that is are people like us saying that are active and are involved and paying attention to what's going on, and they're not voting out of complete frustration with the what's in front of them, but rather it's just complete apathy. And I don't think you're going to get that person off their couch or away from Taco Bell long enough to actually do anything.
Well, and plus, too, you only have two candidates presented to you on a silver platter. Choose one of these. At the end of the day, that's what it boils down to.
Right, and let's just say, for instance, we get Rubio and we get Hillary. What's the difference? Cruz, Hillary. What's the difference? There is none. Oh, people can pat themselves on the back and say they elected a woman and there's going to be a million women displaced in Iraq or Syria or Iran or wherever it is when she's in charge. So, yeah, great, women's rights. You elected a woman president. And what about all the women dying overseas?
And business still continues as usual.
That's it.
And that's with all the candidates. All the candidates on both sides of the fence right now that are standing on the stage. We have a lot. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, the thing with so many people not voting anyway, you know, people get so passionately, you know, behind one candidate or the other, it doesn't make any difference. I mean, you know, there will always be an enormously apathetic majority of people who won't vote, and then there are going to be people who protest the vote by not voting, and then the people who do vote blame everybody else who didn't vote for the problems that happened, when really it's nobody's fault to begin with because the entire system is broken and things will happen. Candidates will be elected no matter what, and the people aren't going to be the ones who do it.
Well, and let's talk about that. I mean, let's talk about the vote. Let's talk about clearly, I'm by far the farthest thing from an Al Gore fan, but guess what? He won the election in 2000. Richard Nixon won the election in 1960 against John Kennedy. Let's look at Ron Paul and Mitt Romney in Maine. I mean, think about all the voting fraud that goes on in this country as well. So people get lined up to vote, and then somebody can hit a button on a computer and switch the votes in the die-ball voting machine.
And that's why I'm straight up going to the polls and voting in protest for Vernon Supreme.
Fear the people. For who?
Vernon Supreme, man. Come on.
Oh, okay. I expected that, but for some reason there's a disconnect. I thought you said Bernie Supreme, and I thought you, and that kind of sounds like something that that a Shannon might say to throw somebody off or get a laugh.
I would never ever disrespect Mr. Supreme in that fashion. I hope you get him back.
He just wants a pony. Shannon just wants a pony. That's all it's about.
You can blame him.
You know,
I will vote for D's Nuts, and that's it. If D's Nuts is not on the ballot, I am not voting. That's all there is to it.
Look, we have a write-in slot. And Nick Saban has four national titles at Alabama. So, to me, that's a leader.
Roll Tide.
Hey, if he doesn't deserve it, who does?
Exactly.
Besides D's.
Well, that's it. Claire, you've written a couple of stories in the past couple of days that are up on the page, especially pertaining to the oil crisis that's going on right now. I guess it's an oil crisis. It's an overflow of oil is what it is.
It's not an oil crisis when I go to the gas pumps. That's
right, it's an oil crisis for people making the money, I guess.
Yeah. So there is an enormous glut in the oil supply right now. It's just an enormous oversupply. You know, there are a bunch of reasons why that's going on. And there's also fears because now that the sanctions have been lifted on Iran, that when Iran comes back online and actually starts exporting its supply again, then there's going to be even further glut. So this has led to really tanking oil prices under $30 a barrel, which is, you know, hasn't been seen since, I believe, the early 2000s. And also, you know, there's a place in North Dakota where there is negative pricing for the particular type of crude that they are producing. And there is now talk that the oil industry will have to be bailed out like the banks were, which really we just don't need to see that happen.
No, and we're seeing, you know, they're saying Saudi Arabia could be bankrupt by 2020. And, of course, Saudi Arabia is saying, oh, Iran this, Iran that. Me and Shannon were talking about this before the show started about, you know, here we go with Iran. And, of course, the groundwork has been laid with Iran. And, of course, you know, it seems like things are thawing right now. But, yeah, we've seen that before.
Seems like there was a terrorist attack that the Iranians are being blamed for. In the news right now as we speak.
Well, I tell you what, speaking of foreign policy, I want to bring on another guest right now, the editor-in-chief of the Fifth Column News, Mr. Justin King, foreign policy
expert. Who also has a great story on anti-media right now via the Fifth Column. Wonderful, wonderful story.
Justin, how goes it, sir?
Pretty good. How are y'all doing?
Oh, I can't complain. So jump in here on your thoughts with the Iran situation and where we stand with that right now.
Well, I think what it boiled down to was Iran developed a new technology that made it not invulnerable, but made it a whole lot harder for us to push around. You know, a few years ago, they snatched a drone, and they said that they were able to shut down its GPS, spoof it, and try to land it, and they captured it. Nobody believed them at the time. Okay? Everybody was like, nah, that didn't happen. There's no way they did that. You know, it's Iran, some backwards nation. Well, then they did it with the boats. The GPS, the radio, everything shut down. So I think with that, I mean, you know, people, when we say GPS, we think navigation. It gets us from point A to point B. But all of our missiles, not all of them, but most of them, are GPS guided, the ones we like to use anyway. So they won't hit where we want them to hit. If this technology is half as good as it appears, we would actually have to invade the country like Normandy style. And we're not doing that anymore, you know? So I think that has a whole lot to do with why the West had to come to the table. Now, all of this, the sanctions and all of this stuff that they're talking about now, I think it has to do with what Claire was saying in regards to we've got to stop that oil from coming on the market. So, but we'll see. It's interesting. I'm very curious to how that's going to play out.
That's it. And you know, I think, and, you know, maybe it's just me and my negative speculative mind, that we are going to have a Republican, and we know what they're preaching. Even if it's Hillary Clinton, we know what she's preaching as far as Iran. And that's been the long game for a long, long time. I mean, you know, the American people, the regular person has it in their head, Iran's terrible. So if they said tomorrow, we need to go to war with them, I think most people would just kind of shrug it off and be like, yeah, they're bad guys, let's do that.
Yeah, I think most people do believe that. And that was when I was writing the article about the GPS, I was kind of worried. I was like, oh my God, here they go. They're going to say that this is some new super weapon, and, you know, we've got to stop them. When in reality, it's completely defensive. You know, they can't hurt us with this unless we attack them, you know? But
well, nobody sees it that way because they see, you know, our advances on whatever country it is, well, that's for the greater good of all things. That's, you know. But, of course, if it happened here, if it even got close to here, they would blow them away.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Right. If Iran had drones over Miami, people would be calling to just blow them off the map.
Yeah.
Especially if you get somebody like Trump in there.
I mean, can you imagine two armed Iranian boats just zipping past the SEAL headquarters?
Oh, that's a war.
Yeah. I mean, they'd be at the bottom of the bay. Mm-hmm.
But when we do it to somebody else, that's okay.
For freedom.
Yeah, it's not terrorism when we do it.
For freedom.
It's not. It's for natural resources.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Hey, Justin, I've got a question real quick. I've read different accounts from different folks that are in the military, And one or two people have suggested that, you know, those pictures, of course, that we saw of the U.S. troops on their knees in the boats, which, you know, are obviously a lot different than I think what a lot of people expected when they heard the headlines that said two American ships. You know, I don't think anybody was expecting these small of what looked like kind of craft you might use to go under the radar, so to speak. But the photos that we saw of the guys on their knees, does that seem to be, is that normal routine in a situation such as that? I've seen a couple guys were suggesting that that was normal, you know, not a sign of courtesy, so to speak, but just normal order of operations. And other guys, of course, said that was obviously that they were, they should have never given up the boats. You know, some kind of military command chain of rules of combat says they're not supposed to give up the boat. You know, obviously diplomacy seemed to have worked out in this case, but can you speak to that as to what should or should not have happened?
Here's the thing. The Navy never surrenders. You don't surrender a boat, okay? That's the standard line, and that's really easy to say back here on land.
There's no atheists in foxholes, yeah.
Right. When you're surrounded and you're staring down the barrel of those 12.7-millimeter guns, I mean, I don't have a problem admitting I'd put my hands up. They weren't getting out. They were not going to get out alive if they tried to shoot it out. So I think the commanders made the right choices. They also, you know, from what I understand, the Iranians, like, contacted them, said, hey, you're in Iranian waters, blah, 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 blah. And if that was the case and the commander realized how far off they were, he definitely made the right choice. Because if we had entered and then fought an open fire, that's an act of war. I mean, like, literal, not in the figurative sense. But, I mean, like, as far as the way the laws of war are written, that's an act of war. As far as making the video and the one guy apologizing,
I guess that's to be expected, right? I mean, it seems like that happens frequently.
You're allowed to do it in very certain, very specific circumstances. If you're captured by a national army, you're not supposed to do that. Like with, let's say, Black Hawk Down, you know, Mike Durant made a video. But Mike Durant made the video when he was captured by a non-state actor, and he was blinking out his, you know, information to get back to U.S. intelligence. You know, he was blinking in Morse code. This guy was scared, and he did it. It's not a big deal. I know there are a lot of people making a huge deal about it, but I think they're just, America got a black eye, and I think they're looking for somebody to blame. I don't think we can blame some incident or LJG or whoever this guy was for doing this. I mean, it's real easy to say he shouldn't have done that when you're not the one with the gun at your head.
Right, yeah, I agree.
Absolutely, yeah.
But interestingly, you know, like I said, I don't blame the guys either. Like you said, it's a lot easier to say, oh, standing back here, I'm a civilian. So, but, you know, as an outsider, I didn't really have a lot of opinions on it, but I was just curious to get your take on it. But so I appreciate that interesting perspective on it.
Most of the people that are really, you know, gung-ho saying, this guy did this wrong, they're Rangers, SEALs, you know, people like this. And they're holding the regular Navy to a standard you can't hold it to. You know, a Ranger or a SEAL doing this is unacceptable. You know, they go through weeks and weeks of training so they know what to do and they know how to avoid this.
And I guess they probably wouldn't be in a, you know, still that's, you know, assuming that what the official story about the boat supposedly losing communication or whatever issue that brought it over there, that's assuming that it was actually, you know, that's a legit story. I imagine, you know, I'd assume being a civilian, you know, I could be completely off base, but I would assume some of the elite forces may not be in that same situation. to have gotten caught so easily, I guess so easily, again, a civilian talking, but didn't seem to help out our case with any of the war hawks, that's for sure. I thought it was interesting. John McCain brought out today the fact that one of the things about making peace with Iran is it makes them harder to bomb them, harder for us to bomb them. You know, and
you have to applaud his audacity of just pure insanity.
Oh, right. It just points out the absurdity of the whole situation. You know, it sounds like an Onion title. It really does.
Right. Well, I mean, and that coming from McCain, which, again, you know, I wouldn't, you know, the guy spent 5 years in Vietnamese custody. I can tell you right now, I would kill myself. I'm not doing that. but for somebody whose code name was Songbird because he talked so much,
right,
he needs to sit down. You know, he doesn't have a lot of, he can't really talk much about the way these guys behave.
Well, they also said he didn't have it as bad as most POWs because of who his father was.
Yeah.
Well, it was because of his father and because, I mean, according to the Vietnamese intel guys, like, from the second he hit the gate to the time he left, he was talking.
And he hadn't shut up since.
Now he has.
So, I mean, but again, I mean, I can't fault him for that. Like, you know, I've seen videos of what happened in the Hanoi Hilton. Yeah, I wouldn't have made it. So,
Justin, another thing, it's pertaining to the kind of same topic, but a little bit ventured off, how Turkey ties into this whole situation. I know y'all had a few stories up on the fifth column, kind of where they're at right now.
Well, Turkey has, Erdogan has lost his mind. I mean, just some of the quotes that he, you know, has said recently, you know, saying stuff like, you know, all I need is the power that Hitler had. You know, I mean, you're like, what? He realizes the almost inevitability of a Kurdish state to the south of his country. And he realizes that the southern part of his country is full of Kurds. So he's, rather than trying to work with the Kurdish people in his country, he's trying to subjugate them. Good luck with that. Saddam couldn't do it. Nobody's ever actually been able to subdue these people. I don't see him as able to do it either. The ties between his intelligence service and the Islamic State are becoming more and more concrete. And I can see Turkey spiraling into hardcore insurgency. Not the kind we saw in Iraq, but more the kind we saw in Northern Ireland. Bombing, you know, tit-for-tat bombings and assassinations, stuff like that. I don't think we'll see masses of troops, you know, roaming the countryside. I could be wrong, though, because, I mean, that's the thing about the Kurds is you have no idea what they're going to do.
Now, do you think when and if a Kurdish state is established in the region, do you foresee that becoming kind of like Israel as far as other countries in the region saying, oh, we're going to take them out, we're going to get rid of them, give us our land back?
I don't think so. I think that the Kurds, because of their reputation, and it's a well-earned reputation, I don't see many countries willing to go to battle against them. And I don't see, you know, and most of their immediate neighbors will be Shia, and they'll just be happy to have somebody else that hates the Saudis. So I don't see that. Maybe Baghdad, like, because a large chunk of this is going to come out of Iraq. Maybe whatever government happens to be in Baghdad might try it, but they're not. It won't be successful. I mean, even when Saddam had total control of his country, he still couldn't break the Kurds. I mean, even using chemical weapons, he couldn't break. You know, he couldn't put these guys in. They're a lot like the Viet Cong, you know, don't want to more show up. So I don't, and I think the Arab world has realized that now. I don't see Iran or anybody like that, trying to get involved. In fact, I could see Iran even, they have a small Kurdish population along their western border. They pretty much leave them alone for the most part. I could even see Iran just saying, yeah, take it, you know, and not basically just giving them the territory.
But it wouldn't be that much land out of Iran compared to Iraq, though.
Oh, no, not even remotely the same.
So speaking of the Saudis, and we were talking about this a little bit earlier with Claire, where do you foresee this being propaganda right now as far as them faltering economically with the oil, or do you think it's just kind of whatever and nothing's really going to happen?
I think that the West has finally, I think the media has finally given up on just letting the Saudis do whatever they want. Between Raif Badawi, you know, the blogger there, they're beating to death slowly, and the mass executions the other day, I think those two things kind of turn the tide. And I think that the West is going to start demonizing the Saudis a little bit more. So when it's time to break, they can't. You know, it's kind of like what John McCain said. You know, we've got to make them look a little bit more evil. So when it's time to bomb them, we can't.
That's right. And the UK, they've started turning on the Saudis as well, because they had a guy that was was arrested for making homemade beer or something like that, and they ended up getting him back to the UK. But they came to what, an arms deal over that, or, you know, of course Cameron was like, they're not intertwined with each other, but the timing was very coincidental.
Yeah, I mean, that was the mass execution. I mean, we're talking about teenagers that they killed. I mean, it doesn't matter how cruel the governments are. When you're talking about killing somebody for something they did when they were 15, everybody kind of just takes a step back. It's hard to justify that to a Western population. So I think that was a critical mistake from the new king over there. I mean, there's no way Abdullah would have done that. He was too savvy.
He was a lot more political savvy than Salman. But, of course, we've got the internal conflict going on with the royal family. Do you think that they'll get him out and then smooth all this over and continue business as usual?
I'm not sure. I think we have to find out what happened to the last king's daughters. That's going to tell us a lot, you know, because he had four of them confined. And if the new guy had him killed, which, according to standard Arab politics, that would have been the thing to do, I think that would have caused enough of a rift in the family to where, you know, they might try to get him out and put somebody else in charge. If he didn't, he runs the risk of these girls being used as puppets, as, you know, the reformists. We're going to put them in power. We're going to have a queen instead. The likelihood of that is a lot less, because my personal, you know, I talked to Sahar, one of them, pretty regularly on Twitter. I'm fairly certain they were killed. I haven't heard anything from them since the new guy took power. It's hard to gauge, because they're very, you know, there's not a lot of leaks coming out of the Saudi palaces. You know, it's not like the White House.
There's pretty much a leak every 15 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not real sure what the likelihood of them putting somebody else in, but the conditions are there. You know, but I don't know that anybody's going to actually have the cojones to try to do it.
That's a sordid state of affairs right there.
I mean, when you're talking about executing, you know, your nieces, I mean, that's, that shows you how twisted these people are.
Yeah, that's Old Testament, Leviticus.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want no part of that. But anyways, you had actually said that you had an announcement to make for the Fifth Column tonight, and I am I've been waiting on with bated breath.
That's right. Okay, well, anybody that reads Anti-Media or the Fifth Column listens to this show is probably aware of Pontiac Tribune. Pontiac Tribune is a news outlet based out of Michigan. Basically, they do a lot of good U.S. foreign policy, U.S. politics, that kind of stuff. All of the key people, I don't know who wants their name out there, so I'm just going to say all the key people have new projects coming online. And it kind of, you know, but nobody wanted to see Pontiac Tribune go away. So, as of noon today, the Fifth Column assumed a management capacity, and we're going to be running the operation of Pontiac Tribune.
Wow!
Awesome. Congratulations!
I know. Miss Claire's going to be happy about that.
yes, I am.
And the only real changes, if you're a heavy reader, of Pontiac Tribune, the only real things that are going to change are you're going to see more local news come from other parts of the country other than Michigan. Other than that, it's going to run the same way it was. And there's going to be a site redesign, which may have actually already happened. Because I happen to like the way Pontiac Tribune looked. That was very similar to the way the Fifth Column looked when we first started it. But everybody basically said, it's cool that it looks like a newspaper, but I don't like reading it like that. That was the feedback we got. So since Pontiac Tribune was set up the same way, we're going to go to a very clean style. Other than that, everything's going to just keep going along the way it was.
Well, that's awesome.
That's awesome. That's great. And actually, I've been following the Pontiac Tribune for quite a while, I think. I know Aaron Nelson, if you're familiar with him, I got a friend request from him. It's probably been a year or two ago. And shortly thereafter, got a friend request or a link to follow, or invite to follow the Pontiac Tribune. Great source. And like you said, they cover a lot of good stuff in and around Michigan. In fact, I was reading a bit of info on the water situation up there that I think they had actually put out. But great site and great group of people, really.
Yeah, it's been, it's been around for a while. And that was the thing. Nobody, everybody kind of has a little bit of an emotional attachment to it. I mean, I have articles on it. I think half of our writers have articles on it. nobody wanted to see this outlet just go away. That's what we're going to do with it. We're just going to expand its operations, because when we set up the Fifth Column, we set up an international thing. And we realized, I can tell you what's going on in Kurdistan. I can't tell you what's going on in Atlanta through the Fifth Column.
There's nothing worth knowing about in Atlanta.
Yeah, you can skip over Atlanta. There's nothing cool happening there anymore.
Well, I'm excited. I think this is going to be a wonderful development.
I think so. I'm very excited. I really am. I think it's going to be great.
Well, I can't wait to see it. That's going to be awesome.
I'm very excited about it. Speaking of Michigan, Claire, Justin, y'all are close to the region. What is y'all's take on Flint right now?
I can't believe the governor isn't in jail, actually.
Yeah,
we're talking, if ISIS would have done this, somebody brought this up today, if ISIS or some other terrorist group would have done this to the water supply knowingly, then they would be brought up on charges of terrorism. And, I have to tend to agree with that. It might be a bit extreme, but, he had several chances to investigate this and try to come up with some sort of solution and didn't take the bait at all. So,
or assign it to somebody who is qualified to take care of it. I mean, you know, there are certain things that happen in our lives that are over our heads, and we have to give up control, which is, you know, kind of been a central theme of this broadcast as far as the problems that we're having with all of these different entities. It's control and power, you know, and the fellow in power. This is what power gets you. This is the people that you pray to every night. Oh, please save us, Mr. Politician, from the evil, insert whatever evil blank here. And, you know, here we go. Yeah, you got to try to drill for your own water these days in some places of the country, and you'll get thrown in.
Nestle will sell it to you.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Nestle always sell it to you. They're bottling it up right now as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm actually... I'm amazed that the violence didn't break out. I really am. Because I can tell you this, if I found out my kid was drinking that, I don't know how I would react. I've got to hand it to the people of Michigan for staying calm. Because that's, you know, there aren't a lot of things that you can believe the government's going to do anymore. Giving you clean water, that's one of them. And the fact that they're still billing them, oh my God.
Yeah, they are.
These people are still paying a water
bill? It's like $200 a month or something.
Oh, no, no,
yeah.
No.
But,
no.
You know, one thing that needs to be brought up as well, though, is that it's a thing of beauty has happened out of this. The citizens have come together, you know, from all over the country. Muslim groups have donated water and supplies and things for people, you know. This is a good opportunity. This is the way that it's supposed to work when people come together and help solve each other's problems, because obviously the government is not going to do it.
That's it. And ironically, a large group of Muslims have come together in the community to pass out water, while you have a large majority of the country.
No, what you meant to say is the Muslims were the ones that poisoned the water to begin with, right?
Right. Yeah, in the black mask.
Yeah, don't be spreading misinformation around now. The Muslims are the evil ones here.
That's what
Remember
Trump,
that.
That's what Trump said.
Yeah.
That's what Trump told me.
Gosh. How do we let it get to this, man?
People love to have they love being lied to, and they love their emotions being tugged on, and love being told what to do, because then they don't have to think for themselves. It's a lot.
Hey, older generations, the ones that actually made the decisions that got to this point, you guys are assholes.
Way to go, hippies! You all failed us.
The bums lose, Lebowski! The bums lose!
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
It was all just an excuse to do drugs.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's our show for tonight.
Well, I tell you what, we only have a few minutes left. We're going to go around here, and any last words anybody has for us, we'll start with you, Justin. Anything you would like to relay to the listening audience?
I would just say go ahead and go check out, you know, Pontiac Tribune, and go ahead and, you know, subscribe to the social media, all of that stuff, so you can pick up your local news from an independent source, because it's going to happen.
And check out the Fifth Column. Awesome, awesome site.
Absolutely, yes, that would do.
Kevin,
yeah, that one too.
Any parting words for us?
Not so much, man. It's good to be on the phone with you guys. Sorry I couldn't be there in person, but... enjoy it anyways. Hope you guys have a good night.
We're going to have a meeting about it later, all right?
You're done! Miss Claire, any words for us?
Can we please stop being so hateful and start ganging up on the government that's causing all the problems instead of each other?
That's it.
Good point.
I mean, that's the key to it right there, is to get over the divisiveness. Shannon...
Spread the love, y'all.
For Anti-Media, this is S.M. Gibson. Thank you to Kevin, Claire, Justin, Shannon. We'll be back on Thursday. Anti-Media out. I'ma let 'em know, through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo.